indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For the record, can we take roll call because we have different attendees?
Correct.
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Here.
Director Brett?
Here.
Vice President Newhart?
Here.
President Ohensky?
Present. Is this on? Is this okay? With that, then, we'll go ahead and receive the report out of closed session by Deputy District Counsel Michael Seitz.
Yes, members of the board, audience, the board did go into closed session in regards to a number of items. First, under pending litigation, they went into closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision A. Under personnel, they went into closed session under Government Code Section 54957. In regards to the district manager evaluation, the board did take action. The board took action to terminate the services of Susan Morrow without cause under her contract. The board also took action to appoint a temporary general manager, Margaret Faulkner, to replace her for a period of up to 1 month. And the other item, conference with labor negotiator, that item did not take place.
I'm sorry. Thank you for the different microphones. Every time we meet, they're confusing. Thank you for that report. With that, then, we'll go ahead and move into the presentations, except for Chief just left. Chief Fanaris. We asked you to come forward with a presentation regarding the trenching and the construction activities and emergency services, so all yours.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. You have before you and on the screen, for those that are in the audience, safety tips for public around sewer construction activities and Station 15 South Bay's emergency response during the construction. I was asked to provide some safety tips for public. There's a lot of activity going on, obviously, in Los Osos with sewer construction, and so to assist me with this, I talked to DIG Los Osos and was able to work with some of their employees, and should always exercise caution when in the vicinity of the construction sites. As you're well aware, you're living it. There's lots of construction around. There's lots of sites, so you have to be constantly vigilant to know where you are in relation to those sites. Pedestrians and drivers are encouraged to use alternative routes whenever possible. So there's a lot of, on the main thoroughfares right now, a lot of construction. If you want to keep up to date on where that construction is now and where it will be in the future, there's two ways you can do that. There's a 24-hour dig line. That's 805-546-2802. And if you want to go online and look at it, you can go to www.diglasosos.com, and that will give you traffic updates as well. Both of those are good sites to try and obtain information as where the folks will be, where the workers will be at any given time for the next couple of years. It's important that the public understands that the construction workers have helmets on, the safety glasses, they have ear plugs in. The heavy equipment operators are surrounded with lots of construction equipment, as well as the safety roll cages of their equipment. So there's lots of blind spots. They can't see everything, and they're obviously trying to get a job done very quickly and very efficiently and safely. They can't see you all the time when you think that they can. So pedestrians and vehicles should always listen for backup alarms and assume that the equipment operators cannot see you unless positive eye contact is made with them. They may be looking your direction, but if you be crossing the street or driving through there, the flag person or the heavy equipment operator, you want to make sure that they look at you and you have positive eye contact with them. This is a good example of one of the larger excavators. We're looking at the back of the excavator right here. The front of it's up at the bucket's up front. So this is the view that the operator has from the back of it. So if you're, and this is probably about 10 foot tall. So if you're back there anywhere near the back of that vehicle, that excavator, the operator's not going to be able to see you. This is the side view of that same excavator. You can see the roll cage comes around there. the windows. They've got good mirrors, but there's just lots of activity in there, and there's nothing to the right side of that vehicle with the boom up. Again, just showing you the limited side view from the of the operators. This is a backhoe. We're looking right behind him, so if you're right behind that backhoe, that's what the backhoe operator is seeing, is that big boom there, not you. Again, just trying to reinforce that the equipment operators are trying to do a good, safe job, but there's a lot of things around them that will prohibit them from seeing their immediate surroundings. They're looking, but it's just difficult for them, so that's why you want to make sure you have positive contact with them. There's lots of cone zones out there, lots of traffic detours and stuff, and so there'll be flagged people out there trying to guide you and through the cones. Make sure when you're entering and exiting the construction that you keep your speeds down, both during and after hours. There's lots of steel plates out there in the after hours. There's uneven road surfaces. You don't want to be unprepared for one of those. So keep your speeds down. I recommend 10 to 25 mile per hours in all the areas, even if it's posted higher. A couple of just good facts there. Make sure you're not speeding again. Obey the posted speed away from the equipment. And just show a little extra patience for them. This is a steel plate. It's kind of hard to see, but that's what they're putting all over the roads when they're after their trenching. Those steel plates weigh between 2 and 4 tons, depending on the size of them. So we want to just give you an idea of how big those things are. There's a lot of trench specialists out there. The contractors are only employing trained individuals skilled in trench operations. They go through initial training and continued training. They do daily briefs. They do weekly briefs. And so they know what they're doing around trenches. Your firefighters, as we've talked about in the past, they receive 24 hours of initial training, and then they do continued monthly training. So it's important to understand that leave the trenching and the trench rescue to trained professionals. And that's what we wanted to push with that one, is that trenches are dangerous, and we want to make sure that you're not trenching if you can avoid it. So here's what that's kind of the trench rescue for public safety. Now we're talking about what Station 15 is doing. As we've talked about in the past, we did build a trench rescue prop. There's a picture of it right there. The firefighters are standing on the top of the trench rescue prop, and there's a trench right there. So they're putting in rescue tools and stuff and shoring to simulate a trench so they can make it safe to enter. The station receives weekly emails from the contractors, and that weekly email tells the firefighters where they're going to be this week, next week, and the week after, so we can prepare and start to look at, okay, where the South Bay to assist your firefighters up there at the department. We have a water tender up there at the station. If you remember, that was part of a deal that was cut several years ago. So that's a picture of the water tender that's up there, and we'll be up there for the life of the incident. So if there's a fire in the area of the trenches or the sewer projects, we have the ability to bring a little over 2,000 gallons of water with us, not counting what's coming on the engine. And then we're also responding trench rescue 15 to the trench rescue incidents and other technical incidents. So if you have questions regarding the construction process, anything have to do with the trenching or the equipment that's out there, here's some information. You can call the community liaison, Michelle Hauser. She was instrumental in helping me prepare this PowerPoint and did the lion's share of it. You can their website, again, is diglasosos.com. Michelle has an email address. It's michelle@diglasosos.com. And you can... again, look at the website for additional information or contact that 24-hour dig line. If you have other questions, as always, Station 15 is there to help assist you and help you. And that concludes my presentation. If you have any questions, I'm open to try and answer them for you now.
Thank you, Chief. I appreciate you coming forward with that presentation. Does any board members have questions?
No.
And this is going to run on Channel 20, I presume? Is that correct?
Yes, it will. The goal is to put this both on the website as well as on Channel 20. Okay. It should be up later this week.
So it'll be available. I know those of us on
emergency,
Okay, any other comments? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go into general public comment. I'd like to invite Mr. Margetson to give us an update on the Christmas fundraising activities first. And I know I didn't win the bell ringing, so.
Richard Margetson, first of all, needs and wishes. Very successful again this year. Transitional Food and Shelter, the contribution that went to them this year from the event, we found out when we gave them their proceeds, actually made up almost to the dollar for money they lost by not being able to qualify anymore for some of the CDBG funds and some of the funds from the cities, because the requirements have been changed that it almost cost as much to administer a small grant than the grant money itself. So they're moving to bigger grants from CDBG. So the small nonprofits are having a harder time, you know, asking for funds and qualifying for funds. This year, though, we did not reach last year's total. Came real close. One reason was, and this is actually a positive, our $5,000 matching donor that we've had for the last 4 years, we didn't receive this year because the agreement with him was that when the capital campaign started for the new shelter, our event would no longer receive the $5,000 matching funds. The other thing I wanted to talk about and kind of throw down the gauntlet for next year is bell ringing. Collectively, the community broke the record for Los Osos this season. First time ever we've been over $12,000. The largest Christmas Eve ever. First time over $1,000 on Christmas Eve alone. And the directors that were able to ring the bell, and I know there was one that wanted to and had a conflict, and I wasn't able to accommodate him, but we'll get Leonard next year because I know he enjoyed it a lot last year. But the directors that participated, I think they already know the results. But I will say that Mike's total, Mike was would have been in the running last year and actually would have won last year if Craig hadn't come up with a wonderful idea. Anyway, during Mike's 2 hours, just a few cents over $99, which is an excellent 2 hour total. Now, Craig, on the other hand, stacked the deck a little bit, having the worst shift. We consider the worst shift is the 10 to 12 shift. It's slower, there's not as many people out. You know, the proceeds increase as you get towards the 3 to 6 o'clock hours. Brought his daughter and three high school band members, Morro Bay High School band members, and they played the best 2 hours was $188.95. And just to compare that to what that means, there were some days early in the season that one of the stores didn't have a total that large. There were a number of days where the total wasn't larger than what he collected in 2 hours. So you would have won last year if that total had been in there. Craig, thank you. It was a wonderful idea. And people this year came up with some really innovative ideas that we told them, you know, you have 2 hours, whatever you want to do, because people started asking. There was one gentleman in his 80s who'd never rung. I'll just tell this real quick. He said, I'd like to try it. And he said, what do I do? I said, some people play music. Some people give out candy canes. Some people, you know, whatever. He played the harmonica. And he set the bell on the kettle. And when somebody gave a donation, they got to ring the bell. And he did fabulous. I don't know what his total was for his 2 hours, but that day that he rang, he did it twice, and he loved it, and he's going to do it next year. But that's, you know, that's how it's improved, and I think that's how we got to the record total this year. People came up with innovative ideas to get people to donate. So thank you, and I hope 4 or 5 of you next year all weigh in.
Marshall.
Thank you, Richard. Yeah. Michael? You.
Richard, I got one question. Can you tell the public what percentage of the proceeds from the Salvation Army stay in the community and what that comprises?
That's a good point. I'll make an announcement for next year. Anything that's collected at the kettles in Los Osos, Morro Bay, stay Cayucas, Morro Bay, and Los Osos. Stay in this locale. So if you get your envelope from, even if it's in the envelope that says LA on it, that's important because we get a lot of checks.
All right. Well, thank you, Richard. Thank you, Michael. I'm sorry that Craig outperformed you, but now you're setting a high bar for work.
I know.
At least we got a whole year to figure out how to top that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, with that, then, we'll go to general public comment on items not on the agenda. Limited to 3 minutes, please.
Good evening, Lindy Owen, and Happy New Year to everybody. I had a couple points I wanted to talk about. I really appreciate Phil's safety talk on the construction zone and the danger of the traffic issues sometimes, the equipment moving without being able to see pedestrians and cars. I've had a couple close calls with two of those metal plates being lifted up and swung around, and the guy just barely missed my Volkswagen. So anyway, I believe, as far as I know, there's $7 million was allotted to the group that is running Michelle Hauser and the, I've forgotten the name of the group.
HDR.
And they are, with that $7 million, they're supposed to be coordinating the construction management and the PR. So I've asked for a month now when we would have some information that would actually come to the public, because if you don't have a computer, you don't have any way to look up Dig Los Osos and find out all the little bit of information that they seem to be putting out. But we did get our brochure, and when I asked what we sign up now to get some of the rebates for toilet changeouts, there's some washing machine rebates. I just think it's pitiful that our $7 million is not going towards much of anything. I just wanted to wish Susan Morrow the best in her future endeavors, and appreciate that Margaret will be taking over for whatever interim. And then last but least, Tri-W amenities. The Tri-W is a restoration project from the last failed sewer project. And what's happened is the money, there's $17,000 that's been put into making it into a park. Now, those are amenities. They do not belong on a sewer bill, and they are being charged on our sewer bill. And not only are we seeing some waste on the, you know, the bollards and the walkways that run through where the water sits, and you can't even get through half of it, it's been redone, I think, four times now. They've reconfigured that basin. We paid to have it done the first time, and now we have a Cal Fire is out there with prison crews doing a lot of the work at, I guess, $200 an hour per crew. So we're getting quite a bonus. But where's the responsibility for who was supposed to have? I mean, this project needs to have some oversight, and there is none. And I just want the public to know that you should be angry. Thanks.
Thank you. Julie.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker. And just a quick correction for Lindy. The Cal Fire prison work crews are $200 a day. So it is. I, too, want to appreciate the presentation by Chief Veneris. But it seems to me that it's Dig Los Osos that should have been here, should have been giving the presentation. And not just for safety. There's a lot more that goes on, the coordination, et cetera. I think it's time for a wastewater project update. I think it's time to see what the successes of the project are so far and what the challenges are. And I am very curious to know how many gas lines or water lines have been hit or broken or had to be moved. I know that the cost of moving those lines is on the ratepayer. This is not charged off to the sewer project. This is on your gas and water bill. And so I am understanding that there are many conflicts in the roads, and all of that was mapped before the sewer was designed. And so somebody designed it. Well, it's been designed so many times. Maybe they grabbed the wrong copy. Some things that I think the public needs to be aware of, your board needs to be aware of, is the Jacamazi site has yet to be purchased. That makes no sense. I know in 2006 we were prohibited from building pipes to nowhere, and that is exactly what is happening today. Now, you might be okay with the fact that it doesn't impact your rates, your water rates, like the contract with the school district did. But that's our water, and you absolutely should have some heartburn over it, like I do. And I look forward to the rest of the meeting.
Thank you, Julie. Any other speakers? Richard? I'm giving Richard two shots at it because the first one was an informational session here. Basically a pat on the back for Craig. So.
Richard, one thing I did forget to say earlier was the event, the Lansing Wishes event also provided 8 full bowls of toys to Operation Santa Claus, where people came in, bought toys, and donated them. And some of the bells had, they bought some of the really nice toys and donated them. So that was pretty amazing. I just want to touch briefly on something Joe mentioned about the sale of recycled water contract to the farmer across the road from the wastewater plant. I know it's a condition of the COSA permit, but what upset me was the staff report saying that the $5,000 they will receive at $100 per acre foot for 50 acre feet will help offset O&M charges for the rest of the customers of the district. And that's absolutely not true. Yeah, there was no analysis in that staff report. Discussion on what justified selling them another 50 acre feet at $75 an acre foot for water that's going to provide no mitigation for seawater intrusion. I think that's an issue for this district to discuss. You're a water purveyor. That water going out there with no mitigation for seawater intrusion has an effect on this district and the water department and the basin. I'm sure there will be something about, more in depth down the road, probably in utilities committee or something. And then the last thing I wanted to mention, and this isn't something I wanted to do or ever wanted to do. We lost Dorothy Norwood recently. She was a frequent attendee at these meetings, not so much the last few months, but she came back in the heyday of Move the Sewer. She was at every meeting, some of them till after midnight, some of the late meetings, huge Move the Sewer supporter. Once in a while gave public comment, but was always there supporting, showing up at meetings, Coastal Commission, supervisors meetings, CSD meetings, committee meetings when needed. She was involved in a lot of other organizations in this community. And a celebration of her life will be here at the community center on January 13th, a week from Sunday, from 2 to 4 p.m. So if you knew Dorothy or you respected what she stood for, come and join with the rest of us and her family in celebration of her life. It's just going to be finger food. If you want to bring something, it's just finger food, something to...
We haven't had a joint meeting with LOCAC for the longest period of time, so that might be a good topic for a joint meeting with LOCAC, is to have a wastewater project update. I know we've tried to have Dig Los Osos come here, and I know Vicki has there also, but maybe trying to set up a joint meeting might be a thought on that. Just to follow up on Richard said, you know, we've lost Sylvia, Gwen, and Dorothy in the last few period of time here, and I just, it's kind of, I don't want to be creepy about this, but it's just really weird, and Richard had brought this up at our last meeting about not seeing Gwen at these meetings because she was an active participant. It just really leaves a vacuum in the room not to be looking out into the audience and seeing her in attendance. So hopefully we'll drop the subject of deaths, but I think that Gwen's passing just is continuing, at least on my aspect, to have a continuing impact. So I just want to acknowledge the passing of those three people. With that, then, we'll move into the administrative reports. Chief Vanaris, you have the first report.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public that are here watching or in the audience, you have before you the November 2012 Chiefs Report. In the month of November, the Station 15 responded to 129 calls. Six of those were simultaneous. Of those 129, 89 were medical aids, 56 requiring advanced life support from your paramedics. There were 4 traffic accidents, 27 public assists, 5 other emergencies, and I think this is the very first time I've ever told you that there was no fire, no calls for fire in a month. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's interesting.
Even with Christmas trees and all that?
This is November, for Five Cities Fire Authority after about 5 years of service. In November, driver-operator Mark Bailey submitted a letter of resignation to be effective December 31st, and it says 2013, but that's a typo. I just noticed that. It was actually effective 2012. Mark Bailey has been at the fire station for over 5 years and has been a very great asset to us. We're sorry to see him go, but he's a full-time engineer for us for Cal Fire, and it was just too much for him and his family. There's some training items in there. In November, fire apparatus engineer, paramedic Borja and Peterson, as well as reserve firefighters Bishop, Pearson, Miller, successfully completed the combined rope rescue operations and technician course. This is a high-angle, low-angle class that is held here twice a year, actually at Montana de Oro and some other areas of the county. This certifies them to be low-angle rescue operations qualified. On November 7th, Station 15 staff participated in the FEMA-evaluated Diablo power plant drill. In November as well, we hosted a state fire marshal trench rescue course. We've talked about this before, and it's a 24-hour class that certifies folks to work in and around trenches. There were, I want to say, a little over 30 firefighters from throughout California in here. I'm looking to see where I... Yep, over 30. On November 10th, as we've been talking about, we started the first step of the hiring process for reserve firefighters. On the 10th of November, Station 15 firefighters on Engine 215 participated in the Coon Creek Vegetation Management Control Burn. As you may have seen, a lot of fire engines in the area during that time, that frame. The vegetation management burn that the 215 worked with was successful on that day, and 215 came home that night. After the escape, we assigned 2 additional firefighters from the company, paid for by Cal Fire, to help with the incident management process. Continuing with the hiring process, on November 17th, those 17 individuals came in for interviews. Of those, 6 applicants continued. Were successful. Actually, they were all successful. 6 applicants were deemed to continue with the process, and they're now in background checks. Some fire prevention activities early in November on the 6th and 8th. 2 separate parent participation tours occurred at the station. On November 9th, 2 separate Sunnyside preschools came up and toured the station. And on the 11th, the firefighters participated with the Veterans Memorial Service held at the at the Los Osos Valley Cemetery. That concludes my report. If there's any questions or concerns, I'd sure be happy to answer them for you.
Any questions from the board?
No.
Seeing none. Thank you, Chief.
Okay.
And then we'll move to the Utility Department report.
Thank you.
this on? Good evening, President. Dumped out of the basin, and that comes to a demand of about 564,600 gallons. This is a decrease in production from last year by about 1%. 57% of the water service area was billed for 17.2 million gallons of consumption for the period October 11th, 2012 through December 10th, 2012. And this generated a revenue of $143,033. The revenue increased by 1.1% and the consumption decreased by approximately 15%, so when compared to last year at this time. I've also prepared a couple of tables here for your production so you can see how much water was produced at each well site and the runtime hour of the pumps. And I'll leave that for you to look at. There's also information on the November wells, the summary report is what I call it. I'll give you more information. As far as the maintenance, the crew's been working hard, keeping up with all of the USAs from the wastewater project, and also, you know, taking care of the vehicle and doing other things. I'm sorry I didn't prepare my staff note. I was going to read it tonight. So, anyway, the crew picked up the vehicle, you know, took the vehicle up and dropped it off in Sacramento or Fresno and then brought it back, or it's still what that will do to our drainage budget. And then I've just reported the same on Vista and Bay Ridge. You know, we're still working out with that. I'll have to see what's going on as far as getting the county to take those two subdivisions over. Anyway, that's my staff report for the Utilities Department. And
Director Baltimore, I see a question.
Yeah.
It's not so much a question. Not. All right. Am I on now?
Yeah.
All right.
As much as you could be heard with that.
Put him in a bubble.
It was mentioned that the municipal stormwater permit might have an impact. Could we maybe direct staff to make their best guess at the impact that it could have on us?
I've been reviewing it.
So could you get back to us at the next meeting with an update on that?
Oh, sure. I was going to bring it to utilities.
Well, that's right. Yeah, take it to utilities, yeah, but yeah, then back to the board next meeting I think would be helpful.
Yeah, I think it's something we're already following on the agenda.
Okay. All right. So we already got that one covered. Any other questions of Margaret? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to the Administrative Department report. I will give that report. The report's in your agenda package. There's just a few items on there. One is that the bed has been installed on the F-350 truck. Total cost at this point is estimated to be $14,000 and change on our package here. Upcoming meetings at the bottom, the cyclone fence is out for bid, and the bid ends January 8th. Chamber of Commerce installation and award ceremony is upcoming at January 25th. At this very location, RSVP to the chamber by January 18th. I will be there swearing in the new board members as I did last year, so I expect to see everybody there at that. The strategic planning session that's indicated on the agenda is being deferred for reasons that might be obvious at this point, that we're dealing with staffing issues at the current time, so we're going to defer that strategic planning session for the interim. And last but not least, and probably most importantly of everything, is committee applications for the committees to advisory to the board are online, and you can come into the office and pick them up or give us a call. We'll mail them to you. They are online, and they will be considered for appointment at our next meeting, which is scheduled for February 7th. Right now, all of our committees are full except for one, but we would like
to get some people to apply for them, so we have full committees. It's a good opportunity for people in the community to give input to the board and to the committees, and I think they've been functioning very well over the past few years, and we'd like to get some new blood involved. So if you're interested in the committees, it's a commitment of about 2-3 hours a month, a little bit more maybe, and it's a good opportunity to get involved in your community. Again, they're online. Come in the office, pick them up, we'll mail them to you, give us a call, and they are due, and they will be considered at our next board meeting for appointment. Yes?
I was just going to say, you could also...
Do we have a LOCAC report? LOCAC did not meet in the last month, I believe. Is that correct? Did not meet?
They did not.
Okay, no LOCAC report. Standing committee reports, I think the only committee that met in the last month was Financial Advisory, Mr. Wright.
We canceled.
That's right. We canceled that. So we have no standing committee. Yeah. See, if you come and join one of our committees, you'll have the whole month of December off. There's more incentive. Any attendance at outside agency committee meetings? I know, unfortunately, that Vice President Muthar was unable to attend the RAC yesterday.
Yes.
But I think that's the only outside agency that met in the short term here.
I think so. Yeah.
Anybody else? Community interest and reported attendance, public meeting, training programs, conferences, and seminars. No. The only thing I would make sure is everybody needs their AB 1234 ethics training to be current. Some of the people are not current. Mr. Wright and I were sworn in at the county clerk's office, so we are now good for another 4 years here on the board. Did you have something to add, Director Moonhart?
No.
Okay, with that then, we'll go to the consent calendar. Does anybody have an item they want to pull? I have one minor thing that I need to discuss, so let me do that first. We got an email from Mr. Bowker regarding his comments at the last meeting, and he'd like to go ahead and reflect in the minutes where, under general public comment, the statement as it currently reads says, Les Bowker commented on his protest and filing of a petition for redetermination of the fire prevention fee and provided a copy with the reasons for the petition and the inadequacies of one area paying for more fire for the local community in its entirety. And since we do have an emergency services district that includes most of the community, that we should take this item and discuss it. It's something that's been discussed at Emergency Service Advisory Committee, and it will be continued to be discussed there. But anyways, in the minutes, if we could just change the word inadequacies to inequity. That doesn't require me to pull that, correct, Mr. Seitz? That's just a clarification. Okay, does anybody want to pull an item on the consent? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go to public comment on the administrative reports and consent calendar and the minutes. I mean, you have the opportunity, but, you know, you can make it brief. You don't have to take the fall.
Okay. Lindy, I just, we'll speed it up here. Get you back to a warm bed and hot toddy. Anyway, on the attendance to the different meetings, I think the RAC is of utmost importance. It's sort of like we're not seeing it. And now that Gwen Taylor is not there Gwen and George to keep an eye on things, and I feel that Leonard's kind of overloaded with attendance on many things as well as running a very good utility meeting. But I think when there's a problem with him not being able to attend, that maybe Margaret should attend, maybe all of them. But I just think it's really important that Los Esos have a say in what's going on. The Water Resources Advisory Council is about the water in the entire county, and they're looking at watersheds and all kinds of, you know, things that have a lot to do with Los Esos. So I would encourage that there always be a good representative at RAC, or that we find somebody to fill in if there isn't somebody from the office or the board. And then I think the special fire district sewer, and neither do the people up on the hill. So inequity does happen, and I wish the sewer had been corrected, and I would love to see the fire tax corrected. Thank you.
Thank you. Julie?
T
Julie Tacker, and I only had a question on one of the warrants. It's the Shipsy Sites bill. Seems a little high this time, and I wondered if there was something unusual that it came in at over $11,000. I did attend the RAC yesterday, and happily they had a very nice recognition moment of silence for Gwen. And I thought that was very important, and it was just really, really nice. I believe I had a conversation with Mike Wynn, and he said that Gwen Taylor has been attending the RAC for maybe 25 years. So it's incredible, her dedication to that committee. What I watched unfold there yesterday was they are working on the resource management study, and every year they update this. It's meant to be a sort of condensed version of where all the communities are with their water, their wastewater, their schools, their resources and how they're managed. Obviously, the RAC is going to talk about water, and the section on Los Osos, he does now rely on. So unfortunately, this report is being built off that report, and if we don't fix it now, this misinformation is going to continue to go forward. With regard to Los Osos, one suggestion was made by Dr. Chipping, and I thought it was really good and probably should have been done 30 years ago, is that Los Osos has two aquifers. And one is in peril, and one both are in peril. One is we're losing to seawater intrusion, and obviously the other is polluted. So we need to show where our safe yield is, and the safe yield for the lower aquifer is definitely we're in overdraft. So that's problematic. So that's one of the comments that came up, and really the county is going to adopt this thing middle of next month, and if they don't have a final draft in front of them, they're just going to take what they get. So I hate to give the Utility Advisory Committee a whole lot more to do, but it sounds like some sort of synopsis needs to be sent in, and I'm sure Margaret can help with that.
Thank you.
So, thanks.
Lynette? Richard?
Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. I would just say that if anybody was interested in listening to what happened at the RAC, they do have an audio that they post on their website, and it takes about a week before they post it. So if you want to hear what was actually said, you could go to that website and listen. Thanks.
Thank you. Richard?
Utilities reports lately. I'm hoping Leonard's not, since Leonard was part of the rate committee, and we're not through a full year of the impact of that rate increase. I hope he noticed in the staff report that for October through 11th through December 10th, revenue increased 1.1%, but consumption went down 15%. I think some of the parameters we set are being exceeded as far as consumption especially, and that's got to be a concern that we've got to address. We're halfway through a fiscal year, and I think even though only 4 months of the rate increase, I think it's a mistake. The other item is, and I just saw it, was E5E, the one on the adjustment from the wastewater fund. Why does a bank who made a mistake, and I don't know the full explanation here, but this is definitely would have been something for the Finance Committee to have discussed if they had had a meeting this month, on top of
the solid waste agreement that I'm hoping comes before finance. But how do they get away with now backcharging us? And then the last thing is, I hope it's still on the agenda for the next finance committee, and I know Craig wanted to have that discussion, to have a discussion about this solid waste increase and the reduction that was passed on to the community in the past and how that's going to play out. I think finance has the right to at least see that as an item. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment. I had a response and then a question. In response to the question that Richard just raised about 5E, I think that the motion says that it would approve a budget adjustment up to that amount and direct staff to negotiate the amount of it. So this is worst possible case, and we already have been in discussions with the bank regarding this issue. So, but we needed to get an authorization so we could move it forward. My question to the rest of the board is regarding the RAC, and to comment on that, we can refer that back to Utility Advisory for comments, or we can set up an ad hoc committee, but I do think that it's important that we do review that and weigh in. So I'll defer to you, Leonard, to how you want to deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, right now the way it is that the two members would are myself and former general manager Morrow. So I was looking to get actually some help from
nearby, and I would be able to do that except where I have conflicts with court and the like.
Yeah. Well, how about in the interim here, if we don't have the two of you along with Margaret review the document and then bring comments to either UAC or to the board so we can forward it to the RAC for their February meeting?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because that's in the short term is really if we want to comment on that or not. But I think between the three of you, you can decide whether we want to comment and how we want to comment. I know Margaret's already done some research on it. This is some background information, but that way we can have something back to us at February. Does that work for you?
That works for me. That was my other suggestion, was because I recognize that we are going to need some help with this from Margaret.
Well, after we have the election of the new president, the president can appoint the RAC members, so you'll have that option available then with the concurrence of the board. So.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to appoint an ad hoc committee of you two, along with Margaret, to go ahead and prepare a response for that. I'm sorry. Any other comments, questions? Okay, seeing none, then can I have a motion to go ahead and approve? We can have a motion to go ahead and approve the administrative reports, the committee reports, and the consent calendar items with the minor modification of the minutes.
I so move.
Moved by Director Wright.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Vice President Newhart?
Yes.
Director Baltimore?
Yes.
Director Vogo?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that then, we'll go ahead and move to our last three items on the agenda. Item six, which is the election of board officers for 2013. You have a staff report laying out the procedure in your booklet, your agenda package. What I would suggest, and I've cleared this with Mr. Seitz, since our general manager is not present, that he will act as the vote counter in the case that we have more than one person nominated for an office. And you do have ballots on your desk, assuming we have more than one person nominated for an office. So we are required annually to go ahead and elect new president and vice president. The person will take office and hold office from today through January of 2014. I've enjoyed my three terms as this, but it's time to pass the torch. And quite frankly, I've been working hard to bring Mr. Muthart up to speed, so I'm going to start this thing with nominating Mr. Muthart for president.
Are there any other nominations? Okay. Is there any public comment in regards to that nomination?
Do I accept the nomination?
Does he have to accept the nomination? He asked that question.
No, you're drafted.
I didn't hear him say no.
Yeah, no action is considered a yes in this case. Close nominations, then?
We close nominations, and it's generally considered that if there are no other nominations, it's a vote by acclamation, and no actual vote is necessary.
Sounds good by me.
Okay.
So we'll have Mr. Muthart elected president by acclamation. Congratulations.
Thank you.
However, you don't get to take over until I finish the elections. Then it's your turn. So with that, then, we'll move to the vice president.
Yes, I would like to, as president-elect, I'd like to nominate Craig Baltimore for vice president.
Are there any other nominations? Is there any public comment in regards to this?
Not
No is a yes.
Are there any public comment regarding this nomination?
No disrespect, Craig. I would like to see David considered. And I think just that he is downtown, and we've had a legal influence on the in the presidency for a long time. I think the legal matters do continue to haunt the district, and I would support David.
Can I make a comment?
That's a good point, so I'd like to nominate David.
Okay.
You did the same thing last year. I remember I voted for the other guy, right?
Are there any other nominations? Okay. Never know.
Hey, Leonard, you need backup in case he died.
On a 5-0 vote, Director Baltimore is elected vice president of the board for the next year.
Recount.
Have a recount on that? Again, I'd like to just say briefly, and I'll talk a little bit more about this next month when I've had time, but I think the last 3 years have been interesting on the board, and I think President Muthart has a lot of things on his table, his plate to deal with. So I think it'll be an interesting 4 years upcoming, and I'd like to wish Leonard the best of luck. And with that, I'm going to pass the gavel.
I can stay here. This is fine. All my stuff's here.
Question, Marshall. Have you ever used the gavel?
Only once when I hit another director, I think.
Yeah. Your confidence means very much to me. And I'd like to ask the board and staff and public for patience through this transition. I'm going to need a lot of help going through this. It's something very new to me. And so I appreciate all the patience and all the advice and constructive advice that I can get. So with that, we're going to move on to our next item. Does the board have any other comments on this?
Are you going to make your committee appointments now?
Oh, yes. I'm going to do that.
Okay. For the chairs.
Chairs first, or?
However you want. I just wanted to make sure that you did it. I was just trying
that's
to be
fine.
Subtle
I appreciate
about it.
Thank you very much. This is that transition I'm talking about. Okay, as the committees, for the ESAC committee, for chairman, I'd like to appoint Director Wright, and for the co-chairman, I'd like to appoint Director Ohilski. For the UAC, as chairman, unfortunately, I appreciate the public comment and well wishes, but I think being president and utilities is just a little bit too much for me. I'd like to appoint director. Other areas, like to continue with Director Wright on the Fire Focus Committee, and I'd ask Director Ohilski to continue on with the ISJ in those proceedings. And also, if you would continue on representing the district in the bankruptcy. For the and the other thing I know that you have experience in, Marshall, is the Morro Bay National Estuary. So
yeah, actually, I'm the chair of that.
You're the chair of that, so
I would
like you
to that.
Continue with that. I had thought about the RAC before, and I had was going to ask Director Vogel to do that, and also Margaret. I had both of those names written down before, so yeah, I think it's something that Margaret can really help us with in all the aspects. So I think that's all I have on my list.
Okay,
anything else?
Got to back up one touch here for the RAC. First of all, the board needs to adopt a recommendation for a member and an alternate, and then that's an advisory motion that goes to the Board of Supervisors. They actually make the appointment.
Right. So next month we would make that on the agenda.
Yeah.
Right.
But for the interim here, I mean, right now, until the Board of Supervisors acts,
I'm still
rep.
We're
the only rep right now. We can't replace Morro, so you're it.
Okay. Is there any other areas or committees or anything that we need to? Okay. All right. Then we will go on to our general action items. And the first one is the annual review of the board bylaws and rules of decorum. And I guess did I give the staff report on that? Or?
Just for clarification purposes, this is our annual review of the bylaws, and we received no comments from any director prior to tonight's meeting. Yeah. So. As far as changes or whatever, so.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, Mike. Grab the right piece of paper. So, in accordance with Section 14.1, the Board of Directors' bylaws and rules of decorum, the board bylaw policy shall be reviewed annually at the first regular meeting in January and considered for adoption at the first regular meeting in February. So the staff recommends that the board review and discuss the current bylaws and rules of decorum, and after taking public comment, give direction to staff regarding any amendments to the current bylaws and rules of decorum policy. Staff further recommends. Seeing none, we'll go to public comment on this. We have public comment on our rules of decorum. Yep, you're helping.
Julie Tacker. The and I'm not finding the one, but the rule for abstention, when a board member abstains from a vote, generally in every other municipality or government that I've ever seen, abstention meant yes. And I'm sure Mr. Seitz is familiar with that. Here, this subject came up a couple years ago. It means a no. And I just wondered if you wanted to revisit it to make it more uniform with other agencies so that there's not any confusion. Not that it happens very often, but since they are perfect in every other way, since nobody has a question or comment, but just that, and then that follows through to your committees as well, that the abstention means yes or no, whatever you decide. But these are different than all the others that I've ever seen. So just something to consider.
What number is that?
I remember our first year, or my first year, we discussed that.
Bylaws under 2.9 subdivision D, that the board policy right now is that it is an affirmative vote.
Oh, 2.9E?
Yes, and there is a third point of view in regards to abstentions. And that, frankly, is to not allow abstentions unless you are disqualified from voting. And I don't know whether the board's ever considered that as an action. That the only thing that does not allow you to vote is a disqualification or a conflict of interest. But,
right? Isn't that what we say right now?
No. Right now, if you abstain, you have the ability to abstain, even though you're qualified to vote. And if you do abstain, that is a positive vote.
I mean, we discussed this one. I'm fine with it the way that it is now. So,
but if you're abstaining because of a conflict, it's a no vote, correct?
No, if you're abstaining, it's
not a vote at all.
You're disqualified from voting.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I'm fine with
it. It's just not a yes vote. Okay.
I would move then. Can I make a motion?
Yes, please.
Mr. President,
we have a motion.
I would move that staff prepare a resolution. I guess we don't even need to do this if we're going to continue the current bylaws, do we? Because they're in effect unless we change them.
Your bylaws, I think, require you to take an affirmative action at your first meeting in February.
Okay, well, then I'd direct staff to prepare a resolution bringing forth the current bylaws and rules of decorum for approval at the February meeting.
Second.
Okay. Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Yes.
President Muthart.
Yes. Okay. I'll take this to our second general action item B, vote for local agency formation committee. The description of 7B is the vote for local agency formation committee, also known as LAFCO, for a special district member. We're going to consider entering a vote to fill the special district member position at the local agency formation committee. Staff recommends that the board consider the two individuals nominated for the special district position and direct staff to enter a vote. Any questions from the board?
Does anybody have any direction on this?
Well, I serve on LAFCO now, so after public comment, I will make a motion. Yes.
Okay,
let's go to public comment.
I think I know where Marshall's going with this. My recommendation is Merle Cliff. Director, CSD in Cambria, and he's been pretty impressive as a member of that board on the water issues in Cambria, and at one of their recent meetings, he and a new member of the board, Amanda Rice, took things on the overhead, and he said, you know, if they're going to keep labeling us with this level of severity, at least let's tell the truth. I thought that was very refreshing. It was nice to see. A couple board members are now attacking that position with the county based on their ability to provide water on an annual basis for their current needs. You know, they feel that the county has just put them into a cubicle of here's what you are and until you do something to change it. And they have changed it. Their water conservation efforts have reduced their consumption like they have here in this community. You know, it's been dramatic here. It's been dramatic there. I think he's very proactive on the issues in his community. I think he'd make a great member of LAFCO, and I think he'd represent the Central Coast appropriately. And I think we need a member from the coast on LAFCO. So, thank you.
Any further public comment? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board for comments.
Well, what I like about him too is the fact that, you know, he's coastal like we are, has more affinity on issues on the coast.
Director Olhilski goes, and I just want to say he's of the two. He's the only one that reached out to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I know Merle's, just for a little background, he is a director and very active, as Richard said, in water measures in Cambria and also in LAFCO. He's very knowledgeable on the coastal issues, seawater intrusion, et cetera. And nothing against Dan in any way, shape, or form, but I'd like to move that the board direct staff to submit the vote for Merle Cliff as the special district member to LAFCO.
Okay, we have a motion for Merle Cliff.
We need a second.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
He's also my vice president at CSDA of the county chapter. So Merle's very active in other things, too. And he's also, quite frankly, he's on the CSDA risk management board statewide. And he is the one that got us into the risk management pool. So he's done stuff for us, this district, individually outside of, you know, his role at the district. So I think Merle's the perfect choice, quite frankly.
Is it a 4-year term?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I agree. I've seen him at the CSDA meetings in action and very, very present. So with that, do I need a vote?
Yes.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Director Olhilski?
Yes.
Director Vogel?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Vice President Baltimore?
Yes.
President Muthart?
Yes.
Thank you.
So with that,
you set a real high bar for time in the meetings here.
All right. Oh, yeah, there's nothing left.
New land speed record.
Okay. So with that, before we adjourn the meeting, we'll have any board comments.
Reflect what Marshall said, that it's strange to sit here and not see Gwen and George out in the audience. And I think the best way that we can honor Gwen's memory is by keeping her issues at the forefront and remembering them.
Thank you. Vice President Baltimore.
I want to publicly name the 4 bell ringers from Morro Bay High School because they came out there and did donate their time. They were Jennifer Baltimore, Emma Hollis, Riley Haas, and exchange student Sanae Yamaguchi. And so they gave her the opportunity to see Los Osos from the front of Ralph's. And Happy New Year's and God's blessings to everyone.
Thank you.
We have to get Leonard down to the fact that you speak second last now, that you're the vice president, so we'll work on that for next meeting. I'd like to thank the board for the support that I've had over the past 3 years and the community for the support that they've given to the board. I think it's been a productive time period. We do have some challenges before us, but I think we're ready to move forward and address those challenges head on. So I look forward to the next 4 years. My one announcement is committee applications. Please, I said it before, I'll say it again. It's really, this is an opportunity for people in the community to get involved, to become part of the decisions that this board makes, okay? People sit back sometimes and complain that their voice isn't heard. Well, this is an opportunity to get your voice heard. So committee applications. They're available online on the LOCSD website, locsd.org. Contact one of the directors and have opportunity to be involved. With that, I'd like to congratulate President Muthart on his election. And I know, like I said, for about the last month, we've been working on a transition. So I'm sure he's got his feet hit the ground running here.
Well, I appreciate those comments, and I will do my best. And I appreciate, you know, the confidence of the board. And I second your sentiments on the committee applications. And I'd like to just throw out a special appreciation to our staff at the Los Osos Community Services District, in the office and out in the field. They're doing a fabulous job. Now that the construction is underway, the burner's been turned up, and they're holding their own and getting out there and doing what they need to do to make sure that we have a good supply of safe drinking water. So I appreciate that. With that, I'll adjourn the meeting.